Amen. Are you liking those little skits each week? They're good, eh? So good morning, and thank you for being such a great church family and being such a great bunch. Lots of fun. But Sharon, I'm so glad you're home because I've been quoting you the last number of weeks. Because Sharon's one of our core people in the church here. And, like, you know, one Sunday I'm going to introduce all of you because so many of you are newer to the church, to the core group of people who built this place, and Sharon is one of them, and the other Sharon is another one, and Doug and stuff. And I asked Sharon, we were just talking about you a couple of weeks ago, and I said, so Sharon, what do you see about the church? And she says, I really see a lot of the people in the church really pressing in and taking their walk with God serious. You remember saying that? And so, you know, that's pretty awesome. And so I thank you. You're a great bunch. You're a lot of fun, and you're awesome in so many ways. But if someone who is one of the founding people in the church can look at a congregation after all of these years and say, oh my goodness, the vast majority of them are pressing in with the Lord. Hallelujah. What a Christmas present that is for a pastor of a church. Amen. So thank you for that. And this morning, I just want to take a short time as we celebrate the advent of joy. And would you turn in your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. It'll be up there as well. Actually, you know what we should do is let's stand and read that together. And I'm going to give Nikki the mic so she could kind of lead us because she's really good at that. So let's stand together and read this scripture together in unison.
1 John 1:1-4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete.
Thank you so much, everyone. You may be seated. It's good. It's good. It's good. Well, the advent of joy and the coming of the Messiah would challenge every person in that day, just like the coming of the Messiah challenges many people, even to this day. We see it. We see it all over. The undercurrent of ideologies that are not of us are really anti-incarnation. And so, but that's not our focus. Our focus is to celebrate the birth of Christ. And so the advent of the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah, would change and challenge every person. Some love the things of this world. It hasn't changed. Some would fear and some would oppose him, nurturing ungodly desires in their hearts, while others long for the day of his coming and the joyous new life that he would bring. How many of you would say, in spite of circumstances, in spite of sometimes heartaches, in spite of sometimes disappointments, and sometimes things that we do not understand, that it is a great joy to know the Lord? Oh my goodness. Okay, say that with me. Oh my goodness. If I did not know Jesus for the things that I have had to endure as a leader, the things that I have been involved in people's lives, I would crash and burn. But at the end of the day, it's like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe, I can't even comprehend. I thought I saw it all. And then something happens, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And I lie my head on my pillow, and I say, thank you, Jesus. Fill our home with your peace. Fill my heart with your peace. Fill my mouth with the fruit of the Spirit so that I am not depleted, so that I won't vent, that I won't curse, that I won't hurt, but that I will be a man of God who speaks a blessing in spite of all the stuff that goes on. And that's why I wanted to celebrate this Advent each and every week. And this is the Advent of joy this week. And if there is anyone who should be joyous, it should be us. Okay? And it's not because we come here and all the voices were perfect, as good as that is, and that our children are looked after, and there's babies all over, and there's children flagging and everything. I'm talking about a supernatural relationship with the incarnate King. Okay? And it just encompasses us. We can't explain it, but we can just live in it. And I pray that into you each and every week. I've prayed. Lord, last Sunday, it was partially by design and partially because it just happened. But Linda came and she read the scriptures and she read the, and she lit the candles that Isabel will light in a few minutes. And she brought all the children in. And at the last minute, I said, bring all the children in with you. And for some of you moms and your and dads and stuff like this who have young children, we made a commitment in this house that we are going to invest in families no matter what. No matter what it takes. Some of you will remember that. Do you remember that? In the meeting we had with parents. To create something that your children will always look forward to growing up. Okay? A tradition in your house that is Christ-centered. What a privilege we have here. What a privilege we have. For the ones who that longed for his coming, the shining star meant the rising of a king full of grace and full of truth who would one time rule the world forever. Christmas is about one word. You know what it is? Incarnation. I asked you last week, what is incarnation? What did you say? What is incarnation? It's God with us, right? It's God with us. And if you understand the word incarnation, you will understand what Christmas is all about. Incarnation. You will understand what it's all about. And Christmas, basically, frankly, it's doctrinal. Okay? Doctrinal. Some people don't like that word. They say, oh, doctrinal, that's a bad word. But frankly, it's doctrinal. It's a doctrinal statement. It's what do I mean by doctrinal? Well, a doctrine is a belief we base our lives on. It's something that we contend for. We insist on it. In other words, a doctrine, first of all, is a faith position. And our faith position is that Christ is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And that is our doctrine. And so doctrinally, we believe in the incarnation as Christians. Amen? And it's something that it's not something that we could prove scientifically. So don't try. Why bother? It's not something that you could prove scientifically. It's something that we live on. It's something that we commit our lives to. We base our lives on it. Christmas is frankly doctrinal. The text says the invisible has become visible. In other words, God has become human. And the divine has taken up a human nature. And doctrine always distinguishes you. Okay, so your faith position, whether you know it or not, always distinguishes you from the rest of the world. My relationship with Jesus Christ distinguishes me from those who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? Same with you. It distinguishes me from that, and it makes me happy that that's happened. So it always distinguishes you. And one of the reasons why we're afraid to talk about doctrine is because it distinguishes us from others. And so what happens is we almost want to fit in with everybody. We almost want to. It's almost like the time I told you when I first became a pastor, and or it was in North Bay here, and I walked in into the hospital, and I had, or maybe it was in Guelph, and I had my Bible, and yet I'm a pastor, and it was a big Bible, and today we, you know, we use our iPhone to read scripture or something, but I walked in, and I came to, it looked like a this many people, and they were all looking at me, and it was almost like I almost wanted to take my Bible and go like this. Have you ever felt that way? Okay, maybe not outwardly, but have you ever felt that way inwardly? The incarnation distinguishes us from the rest of the world. And Christmas is not just doctrinal, but it's also boldly historical. So look at what John says here in the scripture. He says this. He says, "We saw it. We heard it. Our own eyes, our own ears. We felt it. It is eternal life." That's what the scripture says. Here is what he's saying. When we give these accounts of Jesus walking on water, of rising from the dead, of speaking these words, these are not legends, folks. These are not legends. They are not something that's made up. These are not wonderful parables. These are things that we saw, he says. We saw him do these things. We heard him do this. We felt him do this. We felt him do these things. So in other words, the doctrine of the incarnation that we celebrate at Christmas is that God became historical. Amen? He became historical. The manger, the resurrection, the story of Jesus is not just a story. It's true. It actually happened in history. Amen? Amen? And that is very important. So this goes against what the average person thinks. There's many people you're going to talk to, and they're going to try and get you into all sorts of stuff, and they're going to say, what about this, and what about that, and what about that? You know what? I don't really care. All I know is that, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Okay? And if you could figure out who Jesus is, all the rest of the stuff doesn't matter. If you could figure out if Jesus, historical Jesus, is who he says he is, then everything else is true. So I don't have time to have a debate with anybody, because it's taking away from my time that I need on this earth to have a relationship with the incarnate Christ, the child king, okay, so that others could see and feel his love. And all the time that I'm spending not focused on that, there are people just basically dying and going to hell. And that's not good enough. So what we're talking about this morning goes against what a lot of the average people believe. The average person says they are wonderful stories, they are parables, they are legends, they didn't happen. But 1 John 1 and 2 is saying this. These are either lies you're reading in the New Testament, or they are eyewitness accounts. So that's what he's saying, but they can't be legends. So it's either true or false, but they cannot be a legend. So what John says is, he says, I saw him. I felt him. I heard him with my own ears. I saw him with my own eyes. Everyone would know immediately that he is claiming to be an eyewitness to what he said. So the people in the story in that day, they would look at him and they'd say, so you're claiming to be an eyewitness. Either you're telling me a lie or you're telling me the truth, but it's not a legend. Right? So if we've established who the Christ is, who Jesus is, then obviously we know that it's truth. Amen? So this is not an apologetic. This is just getting it so deep within us. So therefore, every reader of the New Testament knew that these were deliberately fabricated lies or they were eyewitness accounts, but they couldn't be legends. And the point of Christmas is that Jesus really lived. And he really died. Amen? It happened in history. He did these things. He said these things. Non biblical scholars say it. He did these things. So if this is all true, let it get in your spirit. Okay? Let it get in your spirit. And the Christ in us should change things. The gospel is not about that Jesus comes to earth, tells us how to live. We live a good life, and then God owes us a blessing. Many people believe that. You want me to repeat that? Okay, the gospel is not that Jesus Christ comes to earth, tells us how to live. We live a good life, and then he owes us a blessing. Many people walk in that. Oh, my goodness. I would go crazy if I believed that. The gospel is this, is that Jesus came to earth, lived a life that we should have lived, and died the death we should have died. And when we believe in him, we are accepted and live a life grateful, in grateful joy for him. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. And every year we see and we hear stories saying that Christmas is a time of year for depression. How many of you know that? How many of you have heard that? That Christmas is a time of depression. But only, not if you believe in these first two verses. Right? Not if you believe in the first two verses that we put up. Can you put those back up there a second? Not if you believe in the first two verses that we said. Let's read it again. That which was from the beginning. Amen. So every year we hear stories that say Christmas is a time of year for depression. It is, but not if you believe in these two verses. Okay? Now, if you're sitting there and you're saying, but you don't know my story, you're right, I don't. But the reason why we're preaching these messages is so those verses will get into our spirit. So moving forward, it'll be different next time. And if they don't get into our spirit, then all we're doing is we're allowing the same old, same old, same old that is not of him to continue to go in and go in and go in. And it becomes a cycle every single year. So if there's depression in the house over this time of year or those things, I speak a blessing over you, release it, gone, out the window. Okay? Easier said than done. But the thing is, if what Sharon said over this house is true, then there's going to be some stories of victories. How many of you have liked the last number of weeks where I've gone around with the mic and I've asked questions and stuff like this? Hasn't it been powerful? So I come over last week. I'm walking down here. And I can't remember what the question was last week. What was it? Anyway, so Raina's right here. So she takes the mic. And so how old's Raina? 11 years old. Clearly testifies. I walk over here, over to this side, over here. Little Alex is sitting right beside where you are there, Elise, and with his mom, and he comes over here, takes the mic, and he says, I think the question was, what was the best Christmas you've had with Jesus? And he says, well, it's the first time I read the scriptures on Christmas Eve in French and before the church. These are children, folks. These are children. Did you pick up on that? Was that as powerful for you as it was for me? Every year we hear stories saying that is a time of depression. And frankly, it's not that. Christmas is not just an inspiring story that we could live up to. Basically, it's doctrinal and it's historical. And 1 John 1 and 3 says, our fellowship with the Father and with the Son. The word fellowship is koinonia. Is koinonia. Means that if Jesus has come, if Christmas is true, then we have a basis for a personal relationship with God. Amen. Hallelujah. back in Mexico and Ecuador, do you talk to your preachers? You say, hey, preach it, amen, amen. Hey, I wish they would do that a little bit here, you know. Hey, let us record that.
Bring it, brother.
Man, I preached in a black church in Toronto once, and you remember that, Lynn? And you know what? It was half the size of this you, and we're not huge here. And I started to get passionate a little bit, and you could hear them. You know, it was awesome. They said, brother, you're in the yard. I said, you freak. Whoa, like that. You're in the yard, brother. And it's like, and then another lady over there would say, amen. Amen to what he said over there. And then you get warmed up a little bit, you know, and it's like, whoa. Yeah, they'd say, brother, you're in the house. You're in the house. And it was like, it would be like, whoo. You know, it's awesome. So, folks, this Christmas, okay, I'm the congregation now, and you're all the preachers. Okay? So where are you? Are you in the yard? Or are you in the house? Okay? You in the yard over here, or you in the house? Hey, you in the yard? Were you in the yard or in the house, buddy? Over there. You in the yard? Gene, where are you? In the yard or in the house? I want to be able to stand up here. We have a glass pulpit that's worth about $8,000. It's see-through. I'm going to put it back up here so I can look. So I could say to you guys, you're in the house. You're in the house. You're in the house. And be so proud of you with tears coming down my face. That's serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Pray me. You're in the house. Thank you. Thank you. You guys are pretty awesome, you know. But someone said to me this week, I'll get right back on track. I have a few more minutes. But someone said to me this week, we were talking about our relationship with Linda and I, and they said, you guys are a real good example for the church. Would you agree with that? And then they said, sometimes you're a little bit too mushy, but is that true? How many of you would say that sometimes, like in a service, like we're a little bit too mushy? Anybody? Dave Patterson. Dave Patterson, you know what I love about you? You are not afraid to go against, what do you call it? The grain, yeah. Yeah, he's the only one who put up his hand. Just for that, everyone say, Dave Patterson, we love you. You know what Dave Patterson always says to me when I do that? He says, before he'll leave, he'll go, don't do that to me. He goes, I don't like that. <It's> Dave, you're awesome. God is good. So the thing is, folks, God is no longer a remote idea, just a force that we cower before. How many of you grew up in a tradition where you'd have to cower before God? Okay, it was like as if you weren't good enough, you were going to get struck with lightning, you know? And anyone grew up in that kind of thing? Wow, that's brutal. You know, I never knew. I grew up Roman Catholic, but I never knew God that way. It wasn't taught that way. Some of the priests that we had, they weren't like that. They didn't teach that way, or the people that in our neighborhood weren't like that. You know, so. But I'll tell you one thing. How many of you grew up Roman Catholic? Anyone? Would it be true of you? When I grew up in Montreal, Roman Catholic, how many of you grew up Protestant? Okay. Us Roman Catholics growing up, we were told that there was something wrong with all of you people. and if you weren't like us, then there's something wrong with you. Amen. How many of you could relate to that? It's not like that anymore, I hope, but, you know. So here's the point this morning. If Jesus is actually God come in the flesh, you're going to know much more about God. He's going to be someone who you can relate to. You're going to see him weep, right? And you're going to see him upset. And you're going to see him cast down. You're going to see him exalted. And if Jesus is who he says he is, our understanding will be vastly more personal and specific than any philosophy, okay, or religion could ever give us. Amen? Amen. Is God good? So I'm going to ask Isabel to come. And just turn this on here. And will you just light those?
First scripture is Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne, and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue would con- every sorry, every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God forever.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Let's stand together and I want to sing a song for you, but I'd like you to join me. Can you start the song there, Nikki? Or Isabel? Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name, bless the soul, I'll worship your holy name.
Father, we thank you. We come into this place Sunday after Sunday. We hear about you, we worship you, we learn about you, and we encounter you. And so for that we thank you. Father, may we never forget the significance of the incarnate Christ. Lord, may it not just be a message at the Christmas time, but may it be a message through each week of the year. So, Father, we bless you. Jesus, we bless you. Holy Spirit, we bless you. We bless you and we thank you. Father, in these next couple of weeks, as we will travel, we will receive company, we will be with friends, we'll be with family, but more than anything, may your presence be so manifested, may your presence be so very real. And that, Father, the joy of the Lord, which your word says is our strength, may it be so evident. So we just thank you for it all. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.